Beep. Okay. This is going to be the equivalent of what I would teach at APPS of a New Creation Realities class, is what it's called. And what that is, it's considered one of the overview classes of it's a very broad general class rather than a specific class. And what it addresses is some basic fundamental realities about living in Christ. And so what we're going to be doing in this class is looking at some of the anchor passages that have to do with the cross and with Christ, being in Christ and Christ being our life and all that sort of thing. And hopefully that will help define terms that you regularly hear around or give a context or frame of reference to a lot of things that are shared. Because in our fellowship, a lot of things are shared that are specifics from different people, because it's almost like there's an unspoken understanding of the larger framework. And the larger framework really does need to be reiterated regularly. So that's what we're going to try and do in this whole time. But today we're going to start with lesson one in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. We're going to be reading verses 14 through 19. But the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead, and that he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Okay, I want to start with verse 17, and work back, and then go back to the beginning of the passage in a minute. But I want to start with that because the name of our church is New Creation Fellowship, and this is the passage where it comes from. It's based on this: if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. And it is not, I don't think it's meant to be understood that each individual is a new creation. I believe that we are to understand that there is a new creation, and we are identified as individuals with a whole new thing that came up out of the grave in the person of Christ. And that is the new creation, that something brand new got generated in the resurrection that would never was before. And just like this natural universe has its own laws and ways that things work, and just like as little babies, we have to learn one at a time, every single one of those things, whether it's language or how to eat or how to walk, basically how to navigate the universe, it is exactly the same for us in Christ. In Christ is a brand new universe. And we have to learn how to navigate that universe with its laws and its requirements and how it operates. The problem is that we're so used to how the natural universe works that we get confused and try to apply material universe principles to spiritual universe relating, and it doesn't work. And so there's confusion. There's a lot of holdover in our minds. But the fact still remains that when Jesus got raised up out of the grave, something was generated, came into existence that had never been there before. As far as the word creation goes, we use it for a lot of different things. We create a new recipe in the kitchen, or, you know, we create, I don't know, some kid creates a new thing with Legos, but really that's just the remanagement of material, or the reorganization of material into a different form of sorts. But God is the one who creates something where there's nothing. And the new creation is that something where there was nothing, and it's brand new. And the more we begin to understand the power of the cross with reference to the new creation, the more we begin to take on that image. And the more that we can understand the clean break that came at the cross, like there was something that really died, and it really came to an end, and there's a 3-day respite where it was buried and stayed dead, and then what came up out of the grave was something completely different than what died. As we begin to understand that break in our minds, we'll begin to pass from the one to the other. And that is the quest. And that is not the quest for the beginner. That is the quest for every believer all the time, because you never stop learning what that means. The ramifications are as eternal as God himself. So we are constantly learning how to break off with the old and come into the new. And this becomes a relationship that we always have with the Lord. So what's important for us to understand is that the new creation is the point of relationship with the Lord towards us. He doesn't treat us like we're old creation anymore. We do. We think we are. So we have struggles, you know, and we think God has to deal with us. And we think we have to change our minds or change our behavior. But the Lord doesn't think like that. He honestly thinks there is a new creation, naive that he is. And so he relates only on that basis. So when he speaks to us, like we hear his voice in our hearts, and when he guides us, he's actually relating to the new creation. He's not relating to Adam, because he doesn't talk to Adam. Mm-hmm. He doesn't talk to the carnal mind. He talks to who we are in Christ. That gets confusing because we tend to interpret it by old creation methods, and so we misunderstand what he says many times. But the fact of the matter is, he's still talking to the new creation, and he never stops relating from that point. He will always talk to us as brand new in Christ. He's not talking to us as, you know, failure Mallory or screw up Lindsay or whatever. He's always talking to his body and the ones that are intimately joined with him in a living dynamic union. So he's always relating from that point. And as we learn to hear him from there, we begin to take on that image more and more and more. But he never changes. For him, this is the only way to relate. He doesn't shift back and forth like we do. We go up and down, back and forth in our minds. So for a while we're like, woo, I'm doing great, I'm in Christ. And then something happens and we do something and then we're confused or we feel upset or condemned because we didn't measure up to our image in our minds. And that's all just mind games. It has nothing to do with what happened at the cross any more than, you know, how much rain we get on Thursday compared to how much rain someone else gets on Thursday has anything to do with the position of the sun in the sky. You know, weather comes and goes, really rainy, or it's drought, or it's stormy. That's all just changing all the time, but the sun is always in the same position with reference to the earth, even so with Christ. His relationship towards us as new creation is like the sun always shining in the sky. But, the earth is turning day and night, clouds are flitting across, so sometimes we don't see the sun, sometimes it's rainy, sometimes it's stormy, but always the sun is shining. And so the new creation is like that. With him, it's always new. We're experiencing the weather and get shaken because we're not really solidified and established in this eternal relationship that has been created. But the fact of the matter is, it's always there. And he's always going to relate that way. So he doesn't go back to, there are so-and-so's always messing up, so now I'm going to condemn him. Okay, now they're doing well, so now I'm not going to condemn him. Those are our feelings shifting with the weather, the climate and the soul. That's why he can always relate as though we are not condemned, because he's coming from a whole different place than where we are. And we need to learn to come from that place. This becomes part of the security of the relationship as a member of a new creation. That regardless of how we act or where we're at in our soul, whenever we come to him, nothing changes. He's exactly the same. And if we begin to notice that pattern, if you can call it a pattern, then we will begin to respond to that and get secure. And when we begin to get secure, the condemnation, the tendency towards condemnation or putting oneself down or real just self-introspection, just it doesn't have the foothold that it used to have. It tends to just go away because we know how he is always going to relate, and we relate back in that faith relationship regardless of how we're doing. And that's what's going to lift us out, or if you will, elevate us out of that soul way of relating and existing. It says right here, it says in verse 18, all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. And it's just really cool because it says here in the new creation that all things are of God. No one can get in there and ruin it. No one can corrupt it or taint it or destroy it in any way. But we still act corrupt and perishable in many ways. So what we stand on in the meantime while we're learning the new creation, because quite frankly, you know, we don't look anything like it most of the time apart from the work of the Lord in us, we remain reconciled at all times. So the Lord is relating to us from a place of reconciliation all the time, even if we haven't really emerged into all things are of God, and we don't even know what that means, or we don't know how to relate that way. We're still basically reconciled all the time. So the reconciliation issue is the part that never changes. as far as that solid connection with the Lord, so that we know that regardless of up or down, right or wrong, the reconciliation is there. The reconciliation doesn't get broken by our actions. And it's kind of like the difference between a parent with a child and a policeman with a citizen. The policeman with a citizen will treat you nice if you are a law-abiding citizen. I mean, that's a general rule. Mm-hmm. And he will be a little rougher and have to use his power, his gun or his, you know, his baton or whatever, if there are problems. And the relationship changes based on what you do. But with a father, with their child, the child can misbehave just like the citizen, but the father will treat that child differently than the policeman will. The policeman relates to you solely on whether or not you have broken a rule. The father relates to a child based on the fact that there's a blood tie, a life union, if you will, that his life is in his child, and he's going to treat it differently. He's going to see that child from a different point of view. He's going to deal with that issue in a different manner than a police officer would. And this is our Heavenly Father. He is not a policeman or a judge to us. He's a judge to the world. But to us, He is our Father first and foremost. And He's going to deal with us not as sinners. He's going to deal with us as children. So if He has to deal with something that we're doing wrong, it's going to be as a father who sees His image in that child and needs to cause that image to emerge, not as of someone who has broken a rule and needs to pay a penalty. And that's the basis of the reconciliation. And this becomes, in a certain sense, it's not the goal, because ultimately the goal is that the image of Christ is fully formed in us. But the fact of the matter is, the image of Christ is what is a little more subjective and subject to change with reference to the consistency in us of what's been formed. But the reconciliation has got to be there all the time, regardless. It's got to stand like a solid, secure wall for us. And it does, but we need to learn to take advantage of that and stay inside those walls. You know, and stay inside that reconciliation and inside that no condemnation, and to remain there steadfastly regardless of the successes or failures that are going on inside of us, or what God is able to do as far as, you know, conforming us to the image of Christ. So we have to, at some point in our walk with the Lord, we have to come to understand that the new creation is the point of relationship with the Lord, and that anything else that's going to happen with us from His point of view is going to happen from Him relating to us from there. Now, as we relate to Him who relates to the new creation, and therefore saying, yes, I'm a new creation, so certain things will begin to happen. And one of the very first things He has to teach us with reference to being in the new creation is about the cross. Now, in historical fact, yeah.
Actually,
oh, okay. In historical fact, we came out of the grave in Christ. So the new creation started there in fact. But, it wasn't until after the work was completed and Jesus was seated on the throne where we actually like brought into it, in the sense of the gospel's now preached, now we get born again, now we enter into all the benefits of that, now we're the new creation as we relate to it by faith. But where it actually happened was in His cross. So now, seated in a place in Christ, whether we understand it or not, the Father's relating to us there, and this is the first thing He begins to talk about, the cross. It's the very first thing. And here in our passage, it's also the very first thing. In verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. This is the very, very first thing that we learn. The cross is our very first stop, so to speak, in understanding the new creation and being conformed to that image. I have always been intrigued by the fact that babies are not born with a sucking instinct. Like how they have to nurse, they have to either take a bottle or a breast, they have to feed. It's the first thing they learn. It is a learned skill, that muscle coordination. And that always struck me as strange, because wouldn't God put like the ability to take in nourishment as an instinct? But it's not, it's a learned behavior. And we have to learn to take this in too. And I think that it's just so interesting how God made it like that. It is, to begin to receive the message of the cross is not a natural function. if we are going to be nourished, we are going to have to learn this. And because it is really where the life came from. The life came from the death. We start from being in the life and God recognizing us as that, but we must learn where that comes from if we are going to continue and have any kind of robust spiritual existence at all. And make no mistake, if anyone tells you any different, you just toss out that gospel, because that is not the truth. Because the only thing that we have to stand on really is the cross of Christ. That is what initiated the new creation to begin with. And not only the act of the cross in his death, burial, and resurrection is important in that he gave his life and therefore there's a resurrection, but it's like the nature in which he died, the just for the unjust, and to do it freely and willingly, is infused and has become the nature of the whole new creation. So it's not just the act of it, it's the very nature of how it works. And whether a believer learns that, like, definitively, so that, yes, I consciously understand that that's how it works, or whether somehow that is grasped on a deeper level of their being so that they know how to operate that way without really knowing what it is, ultimately doesn't matter as long as you operate by that. And ultimately, that is what we're headed towards, is that not only the reality of the new creation being real to us, but the nature of it being real to us. And so that can only come by the cross. So we must begin to understand the cross. And the very first thing the Holy Spirit will begin to teach us about the cross is that we're dead. That's kind of funny to say because, well, that seems obvious, but there are a lot of things about the cross. The cross can be viewed from so many different angles, but we have to understand first that we have been cut off from the old, because there is nothing of the new that we will be able to access until we understand we have been cut off from the old. And I am here to tell you that that can be grasped in theory and still be completely inoperative in reality. And so the Holy Spirit is our only hope to help us begin to identify the ways in which, in our minds, somehow get from the Adam side to the Jesus side. Like, it's by skating over the cross, and now we're here. It's the Christ side. Woo-hoo. But we're still operating by things that were condemned and put to death, and so there won't be that new infusion of life into our existence. That's a problem. So we'll just do that. We don't mean to do that. It's not a rebuke. We just do it. We don't mean to do it. We don't know it that we're doing it because it's just the way we've always been. But the Holy Spirit's job is to lift up the cross of Christ and to teach us this is where your end was. This is what got judged. This is what got condemned. And in my personal experience, there has been a lot of specifics that have gone with that. Like, I embraced the reality of it. I believe I am dead with Christ. Don't know what that means entirely, but okay. I'm buying the whole package. Whatever that means, that's what I believe. And so that's where I started. And I didn't really understand what, like, the ramifications of that, but it reaches into not only the sin nature, it deals with the tendency to want to jump at any kind of law. It reaches into how we relate to others, which is, you know, one area where you personally have, you know, been aware of, but not even in the ways that you, in other areas of how we use human association for self-promotion. That gets cut off at the cross. I never would have thought of that ever unless Lord had brought that to my attention. How the cross deals with double-mindedness and a wavering soul that keeps us from really entering into the reality of Christ with confidence. How the cross deals with the mouth and the area of how we use our speech. How the cross deals with the attacks of the enemy. How the cross deals with the failures, not of Adam, but of the believer who should have known better. How the cross deals with all these areas, and the Holy Spirit brings us to this place again and again and again, and shows, you are dead. Okay, Mallory, with reference to this area, you are dead and you need to cut it off because it's dead. Oh my goodness, I didn't even know the cross included that. I didn't even know it was an issue, let alone, you know. So this becomes a way of life. The beginning of all new work in us will always be, you are dead. Because that prepares the way for the reality of Christ. But there will be, make no mistake, there will be no mingling between the old and the new. In our minds, there's lots and lots of mingling, and we call that religion. Because we've got the things of God and the things of man, we've created our own recipe, and it's like a Frankenstein gospel where we have a piece of this and a piece of that, we sew it together, and that's our image of God, and that's our image of life in Christ. But all that has to be ripped apart, and we have to see the whole true reality of what it is to be in Christ and allow the Spirit to break that down as he leads. So that is going to be the biggest area and the first and foremost area that each and every believer is going to have to learn when we're living from a new creation perspective. Just one more side point on that. In this sense, our history began with an empty tomb. We, in Christ, we don't have any baggage. We don't have anything but Christ. This is really cool. Whatever happened before the cross is gone now. Day one for me was Resurrection Day. So whatever creeps up that doesn't have to do with the resurrection, I have a right to put down by the cross. Say, no, that's not me. I don't care that I've done it 87,000 times. It's not me. It's not who I am. And so that's a huge mind-renewing thing that we come into. But even more to reach farther back than that, that really our history does extend back the cross, but before the cross, but only in this sense, in that the new creation was in the Father's heart long before it was an actuality. And so in that sense, we were in the Father's heart as the new creation before there ever was a fall, before there ever was sin, before I was ever born and started, you know, raising Cain or whatever, before there was ever a problem that is called me. There was the true, if you could put it this way, our true self in Christ was in the Father's heart from before anything was ever stained or marred. And so if we can begin to shift our identity from pre-cross earth existence to new beginning at the resurrection and always in the Father's heart for eternity, when our identity begins to shift to that, we will begin to see huge core changes in us on an instinct level, where we react not out of well-polished, trained responses that we call Christianity or whatever, but where we would normally operate out of self-preservation, and that level of instinct, primal instinct, begins to be dismantled and it begins to be Christ there. And that is what begins to happen as our identity begins to change. And we see this in verse 15. That he died for all, that they who live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. So it's not just that we're dead. It's that now we are alive with a different kind of life. It doesn't say that he died for all so that we'll stop doing bad things. It says he died for all so that we should henceforth not sin. It says that he died for all so we should not henceforth live unto ourselves. And that is the core. That is the core of all the problems of mankind, is living unto ourselves. It's the nature of living unto ourselves. Now, we see that as bad when it's bank robbery, you know, and evil dictators starting wars. We say, well, that's Adam. But it's just as much Adam to just take care of yourself and push God out because there's no time for him, because you're busy taking care of you in a lawful manner. Even the taking care of yourself in a lawful manner is pre-cross. That is still living into yourself. The cross put an end to that way of life. May the Holy Spirit open our hearts to grasp the difference between a good, decent living unto ourselves and living unto God, because that is a nature change. That is not a polished response change.